You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones. Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom Jones, and it is time to wake up and listen to this music, and it will get you in the Christmas spirit, and enjoy it.
Him whose birth the angels sing.
That was Phil Wickham, and what a great guy that he is. And he's got an awesome voice, and I hope you enjoyed the song, Glory to God. And Phil Wickham is a young fellow that God is really using through ministering to the youth and to America, and his music is awesome. I remember years ago when I was on the radio on Saturdays, and I played some of Phil Wickham's music. He was just a young guy, still is. And I just thank God for his music, his talent, and thank you, Phil. And my message today is about prayer. You know, when Paul talks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, when Paul exhorts the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, this is important because Paul was talking about praying without ceasing. Paul is encouraging them, and by the extension, us, to always be in prayer, seeking God, God's counsel. You know, we need to be praying more. And I too, because I'm trying to develop some time to be still, as the word says, and know that I'm God. Instead of talking so much, just listening to people more, praying more. You know, because the word, the scriptures tell us, the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. You know, you don't need to beg God. You just need to go to God and say, you know, Lord, I'm hurting. If you've gotten a bad report, if you got a good report, you know, just keep praying and thanking him. And it's especially good to thank the Lord when he answers your prayer. Don't forget to go back to the Lord. There were 10 lepers in the scriptures, and only one went back to tell Jesus, thank you. And he said, well, where are the other nine? And he told Jesus, thank you. And Jesus told the leper, be made whole. And I've often wondered about that. I've had opportunities many times to go to the leper colony in Kalapapa in Hawaii. And I look at the lepers there. Of course, leprosy is cured, but they still bear the scars, Danny, from having leprosy. And I notice, you know, they have half of an ear, stubby fingers, and their skin is, you know, their body parts are disfigured. And I believe when Jesus told the one leper when he came back and was grateful for the healing touch that and was grateful, most grateful, that Jesus healed him. Jesus said, be made whole. And his skin, he had no scars of leprosy ever. And he went away that you couldn't even tell he had leprosy. Jesus touched him. And there's something in being grateful. So don't forget to thank the Lord when he has done something for you. Go back and thank him. You know, but be in prayer. What is prayer? The most basic definition of prayer is just really talking to God. Prayer is not meditation or passive reflection. It is direct access to God. That's prayer. Just going directly to God. You know, you can go to him day or night, 24 hours a day. You don't need an appointment with him. You can just call on him. You know, some of you out there are hurting. Just go directly to him. Even when you're not hurting, go to him. Pray for other people. Pray for your workers. You know, pray for your boss. So I know I'm just pray, you know, if a neighbor comes to you in mind, you know, if the Lord puts someone on your heart, pray for them because they need it. Our country needs it. Our government needs it. You know, you may be upset with the government. Don't be, you know, just pray for them. You know, again, the scriptures tell us the fervent effectual prayer of the righteous availeth little. No, it's as much. Much. You go to him and you ask him, and he'll answer your prayers. May not be the way you want it. You know, you can't command God to do anything. You can ask him, but we can't command God to do anything. You just lay that at the cross at his feet. And remember, because the scriptures tell us the battle's not ours. The battle belongs to Jesus. You know, some of you fine folks out there are just, you're holding things you shouldn't be holding on to. You know, maybe it's grudges. Maybe you have a critical spirit. You need to let that go. A critical spirit is very bad. I really don't like it. I don't see anywhere in the Word that, you know, it gives us the right to condemn a sister, condemn a brother. We're to encourage us. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily, what a day is still called the day. You know, my mother-in-law once told me, she said, you know, Tom, if you pick your friends apart, you won't have any friends at all. We all have areas where, you know, you have faults and, you know, but we're not called to fault find, pick, and be critical to one another. We're to encourage one another and strengthen one another daily. What a day is still called the day. That's so important that we exercise that as well, to encourage your wife, to encourage your coworker, encourage your boss, encourage your pastor, because the pastors need it. Encourage missionaries when they come into town. We had a missionary come to our church from India, and I was encouraging him and just sharing with him and loving on him. And it's important to take the love of God that he's given you and pour it out to someone else. They may think you're funny. Well, okay, we're supposed to be different, you know. But we are to continually pray without ceasing. What is the purpose of prayer? And the main purpose of prayer is to worship when we pray to the Lord, recognizing him for who he is and what he has done. It is an act of worship. And that's so important, too. What is the purpose of prayer? You know, it's an act of worship. We just go to him and spend time with him. How are you going to know somebody if you don't spend time with them? You know, you have to spend more time with him. You have to spend more time with your wife. And, you know, one thing that if you're listening and you go to a restaurant and you have your cell phone and, you know, don't call and pick on me for this one, you know, but put that phone away. You know, don't just have your wife there and you're on the phone and she's there. You want to talk to her. You know, shut the world down for a while, you know, and if you're with your friends for lunch, put the phone away, you know, and I see that as, you could disagree with me on this, but I think it's rude, you know, when you're around a friend to pick up the phone or answer the phone or be on the phone texting and on the internet and when you're with a company, you know, some friends as well. So don't do that. Put that away. Listen to your wife or listen to your husband, listen to your friends because, you know, I think we're so busy at being busy today, we're not hearing anyone. You know, we don't take time to listen to the other person. Do we even take time to listen to God? You know, my sheep, his word says, know me by my voice. Could God possibly speak to us today? Well, his word says, my sheep know me by my voice. The Holy Spirit can touch your heart. You can also hear God reading the word. He can minister to you reading the word, and the Holy Spirit can put something on your heart. You know, but we need to be a little bit more still in this country. We're complaining about complaining. We're grumbling. We're murmuring. We're mad. We're upset. We you know, the Democrats hate the Republicans. The Republicans hate the Democrats. We're not supposed to do any of that stuff. You know, we're supposed to love one another. I might not like what they do, but you know what you're called to do? You are called to pray. You are called to pray. You're called to pray, you know, and we are to stand up and we are to speak up. But you know what? We need to tell the word about Jesus. That's what's missing. You know, what he went to the cross and shed his precious blood that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. That's why we're here. That's why we are here. And you know what? We need clear direction from God each and every day. I know I do, you know. I know I need guidance. The scriptures reminds us as well that the steps of a righteous are ordered by who? Not me, but him. And I want to walk in the steps that he's establishing, not only me, but you to walk in each and every day. And how are you going to know that? But you got to spend time with him. And he'll reveal things. He'll put things on your heart. He'll minister to you. The Holy Spirit will tell you to do something. You know, don't resist, but spend quality time with Jesus. last but not least, how to pray. The proper way to pray is to pour out our hearts to God. That's a proper way to pray. Just share what's on your heart. Tell God what's on your heart. Being honest and open with God, as He already knows us better than when we know ourselves. Just have an open heart, you know, just have an open heart, you know, and say, Lord, you know, I'm hurting, you know, I'm just hurting, or I got a bad report, you know, and I just have to lay this at your feet, or someone irritated me. Has someone irritated you lately, you know, instead of being bitter or upset with them, just pray for them and go love on them, you know, go love on them. And if you can't do that and they don't want anything to do with you, then just keep them in prayer. I have a sister and a dear sister, my youngest sister. Years ago, she said something to me. It kind of broke my heart. And I was just getting ready to have surgery. I had melanoma cancer on my head, and I had to have about 50, I don't think it was 58 stitches in my head a couple of years ago. And it was very painful. Prior to that, my sister, I had mentioned something to her, and she and I were talking. And I had asked her to go visit my other sister. My other sister is crippled. She's been crippled because she was hit by a car. And my youngest sister got really upset with me. And, you know, she said some things. And I've forgiven her, you know, and we are to forgive. But to this day, I still have to love her from a distance. You know, but I keep praying for her that she would change. And some people, you know, just keep praying for them. Do people change? Yes. Yes, they do. And just remember, praying, the word scriptures tells, and Philippians, it tells us to pray. Philippians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, as a woman carries a child, you know, I'm going to relate this. As a woman carries a child, she carries that child for 9 months. And at any time, she could abort that baby, but she doesn't. She carries that baby. And at the 9th month, and I'm not a mom, I've never gone through it. You know, I'm a guy. And at birthing, it's painful from what I hear. It's very painful to birth a child. Well, let me share this. It's the same with prayer. If God puts someone on your heart, like in my case, it's my sister, and I've been carrying her and praying for her that she would have a heart change and really have a head-on collision with Jesus and get to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. She claims to be a Christian, and I dearly love her, but she really needs to lay some things at the cross. And so when we're given someone to pray for, you need to write it down. You know, I need to be praying for this person, this person, this person. And you don't see anything happen. Month after month after month, you don't see anything happen. I give up. I just give up, you know. And, you know, you're not carrying that person long enough. You're not carrying your vision and your dream. Well, God told me I'm to do something. Well, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart, but I don't see anything happening. And then you give up. You haven't prayed long enough. You need to pray, and you need to pray, and you need to pray, and you pray. Just like that woman carries a child for 9 months, you need to be carrying things that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. And guess what? There'll be a day, maybe months and months, maybe years and years. You don't stop. You continually keep praying that whatever you're praying for becomes reality, and it's birth, and it's painful. You'll be crying. You'll be weeping. You'll be crying at night. You'll be praying, and you don't see anything happening, but you're not giving up. And then guess what? One day it becomes reality because you did not give up. I'm not giving up on my sister. I don't want you giving up on a person. I want you to continually keep praying without ceasing, as the word tells us. Fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. You know, go to God. You can go to God. Remember, how to pray? The proper way to pray is to pour out your heart to the Lord. Are you doing that? You know, and if you're doing that, I commend you. I really commend you. Don't stop. You know, and we seem to grumble a lot. We seem to spend more time on the internet and the websites and all this other stuff, but we don't even spend time. You go at a restaurant, and I'm amazed, and I'm not picking on people and being critical here, but the wife's on the phone, the husband's on the phone, the kids are on the phone, the kids are doing this, and no one is talking. You know, let's break away from this technology for a while and put that aside and spend more time with our family. I'm guilty. I just push my phone aside, you know. I push it aside. My wife's important. I want to hear what she has to say. Well, don't push Jesus away. If you know Him as your Lord and Savior and you've accepted Him and something's wrong and you've got a bad report or a neighbor's irritated you, someone's irritated you, instead of being mad and upset and getting the blood pressure going way up, just lay it at Jesus' feet and carry them in prayer. You know, maybe they're not the ones that need a prayer. Maybe you need to be praying for yourself. I know my wife brings up several things in my life. She does. And, you know, one of the things I think we need to have that in, as a Christian is have a teachable spirit. You know, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. You know, you could get somebody here that knows the word better than me. You know, I'm just learning, you know, on this journey that I'm walking, because the word says the steps of the righteous are ordered by him. This is all new, you know. It's new every morning, his word says. Let's be open. Let's have an open heart and be teachable. You know, if something's irritating you and your wife says something, instead of growling and grumbling at her, listen. She's trying to tell you something. Listen. And really, my wife has been very instrumental on making me the gentleman that I am today. She really has. You know, and I'm not perfect. But I irritated her the other night. I told her it was too cold in the house. And she had 75. I said, I'm freezing. And she said, oh, just be quiet. But we need to listen to our wife, whether it's the small things or the big things. Listen to what your wife is saying, or listen to what your husband's saying. Listen to what your friend is saying. Listen to what God is saying. That's the most important thing, you know? That's the most important thing. The scriptures tell us to draw closer to him. And guess what? He'll draw near to you. You don't see anything happening. Maybe it's because you're not in the word enough. Maybe you're not praying enough. You know, can one ever pray enough? No. But the greatest battles I can tell you that's ever been won is, guess what? Is on our knees. That's the greatest battles that can ever be won, or on our knees. And I tell you, we need to be praying. And because it says, the scriptures tell us, the fervent effectual prayer of the righteous avail a little. No. Much. And I tell you, see what the Lord can do? I tell you, he's mighty. He's mighty. Glory to God in the highest, for sure. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is there anything too difficult for thee? You know, when the hurricanes ravaged years ago, Haiti, I remember friends of mine, Bobby and Sherry, I didn't know what to do with all the widows. There were a lot of widows in Haiti. And the orphan, they had a big orphan home that were staying in, but the widows lost their husbands, lost their homes, and most of them lost a leg, an arm, and I think there was 62,000 people missing legs and arms after the earthquake in Haiti. And I got to meet a lot of them. And I'm telling you, they were the happiest people I've ever met in my life, you know? So Bobby and Sherry came up with building 10,000 homes, and they had a vision and a dream God put on their heart. These were two-room homes. They had a shared bathroom and they had a shared kitchen. And 5,000 homes went to widows with children, but that were missing legs and arms. The other 5,000 homes went to widows with children. Both of them were widows that lost their husbands. So 5,000 again went to widows that had children, but missing a leg and arm. And the other 5,000 homes went to widows with children. And it was a sight to see. I tell you, when I went to Haiti, I tell you, the worship service, I tell you, is like none I've ever been to this day. I tell you, some of you need a mission trip. I tell you, why does it take that to wake us up? I mean, I went to a church with orphan kids, and those kids were so on fire. It was the best worship music I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm not kidding you. I had little Peanut. I was holding a little Peanut. He was just a preemie and just not developing properly. And that little kid was so adorable. I had him, and there was Christila. She goes around at night tucking all the kids in. There was Moses, and Moses wants to become the next future president of Haiti. And I kept encouraging Moses, don't stop. Don't stop. You know, you hold on to what Jesus has given you and let it become a reality. Don't ever give up. Keep praying, Moses. Don't give up. And I was around all these kids, and one of them told me, you need the fire. And I said, what fire? They said, the fire of God on your life. I said, I already have it. They said, no, you don't. These kids were dancing and praising the Lord. It was so on fire. Here are people with absolutely nothing. Nothing. The widows with one arm, one leg, they were so happy. They had absolutely nothing. But they had Jesus. And I tell you, I've never been around people that were so on fire for Jesus. And I'm being upfront and honest with you, you know, and they were literally on fire. But I noticed one thing. They prayed a lot. They prayed a lot. And what is prosperity? You know, what is prosperity? Is it having a big mansion? Is it flying your $60 million jet? Then I'm against some of these guys that are flying, that are pastors. You know, prosperity, and I'm not picking on pastors. That's not why I'm here. But, you know, prosperity is not, you know, we attribute, you know, okay, prosperity is how much money I have and what car and how big the ministry is. That's not prosperity, you all. That's not prosperity. Prosperity is intimately knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior and falling deeper in love with him each and every day. That's prosperity. That's prosperity. As the word tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And guess what? What? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What else? And all these things will be added. You just seek him. You do what he tells you to do, and I tell you what, he'll take care of you. You may not have a mansion. You may not have a $60 million jet, and who cares about all that stuff, you know? It's people that we need to be after. It's people. Jesus died for people, 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 people. That's what he died on that cross for, and he shed his precious blood for people, people, people. And that's what you need to be after, his people, not building a $60 million jet, and not building a $35 million mansion. Is that prosperity? Absolutely not. Prosperity is intimately knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To me, that's prosperity. You know, I don't want it any other way. I want to be about doing what Jesus said to do, and I want you to do what Jesus tells you to do. You know, the world may say, oh, you're crazy. Well, let them think you're crazy. You know, we need to turn this world upside down. Our nation needs to be turned upside down. We have lost our way. We've lost our way. And you know why we've lost our way? Because we're not spending time with Jesus. We're on the phone more. We're on the internet more, looking at websites and looking at everything else instead of looking at the Word of God. We need to deeply fall in love with Jesus and have an encounter, that a God encounter that we've never had in our entire life. And I'm just being upfront with you. You say I'm radical. I tell you what, you think I'm radical? We need to become radical for Jesus. Because, you know, if you don't, I tell you what, the Satan is alive and well. In America, he's alive and well, and I think it's time to kick devil tail. I think it's time that we stand up and say enough is enough. We stand on the Word of God. We get closer to Jesus and like never before, and we, as Christians, fall deeper in love with Jesus, not deeper in love with the things on this earth. You know, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a nice car. No, you can have a nice car, a nice home, but remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I heard a pastor say why God gave him a $60 million jet, and I'm not going to mention names. It's not appropriate on Christian radio, and it broke my heart. I was on a TV with his daughter, and she treated me not so well. I think when we get caught up in all these things in life and our big ministries and jets and mansions, we get arrogant, folks. We literally become arrogant. We become like spoiled kids, and it's a bless me gospel. The gospel was never intended to bless you. I mean, only Jesus. It's a bless me gospel today. Have we sought the kingdom and the stuff out of the kingdom and not the king? Have we fallen in love with the stuff and not fallen in love? Well, the kingdom we fall in love with. God, Jesus, give me, give me, give me. I want to know Jesus. I want to fall in love with the king, not the kingdom. I don't want to fall in love with the stuff. I want Jesus. And it's high time that we get our eyes focused. You know, it's not a bless me gospel. You may never have a mansion. But God will provide for you. In Proverbs, it says, better where there is little where love dwells than plenty where hate abounds. You see these people living in these big homes. I'm not against them. I'm not against mansions and all that stuff. But I think when you're in ministry, you need to live conservatively. You do. You need to live conservatively. Because if people's given to your ministry, we need to be about building people, not building jets and mansions and all this other stuff. But this pastor made a comment. And I was curious why he made this comment and why the Lord allowed him to have four jets now. And he said, well, the Lord wouldn't want to put me around stinky people. And I was crushed when he said that. He said, I don't want to get around stinky people. Well, I'm here to tell you that Tom stinks. I stink. I'm going to be upfront and honest with you. Tom literally stinks. If it wasn't for Jesus cleaning me up every single day, and some of you, he needs to clean up. And let him clean up. You become teachable and have a teachable spirit, a teachable heart. And that's why I'm pushing you to get closer to Jesus and read the Word. And have a prayer time that you can lay things that are bothering you, irritating you, annoying you at his feet and leave it there and fall deeper in love with Jesus. I hope I made sense today, because it's all about Jesus. It's not about stuff. You know, we need to be supporting the radio. We need to be supporting ministries. We need to, and we're not doing it because we want. And we make an impression. Well, God's blessing me and prosperity is all this stuff I have. No, it isn't. It can all be taken in a day from us, you know? So your trust and confidence, is it the stock market? If the stock market fails, are you going to jump out of a window? Or, you know, you got to fall in love with Jesus. You know, don't fall in love with stuff. You know, as we men think stuff's as important, and look how much, you know, big my ministry is, and building a big church. You know, it's about building Jesus up, not building our image up. It's about building Jesus up. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. We need a revival. I tell you, we need a revival like we have never seen in our entire life in this country. We need an awakening. We definitely need an awakening. And in this country, I tell you, we need to wake up. And that's the purpose of my program, to wake us up, to wake me up. You know, I stink too, and I'm being honest. If it wasn't for Jesus cleaning me up every single day, it's a daily thing. He said, pick up our cross. Didn't say pick up our credit card. It said, pick up our cross daily. Remember that. You know, is it a bless me gospel? You know, you want a name and claim it. I want my mansion. I want my cars. You follow Jesus. And whatever you need, he'll make sure that it's provided to you. He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. And I'm going to put on a song. And Mark, if you're listening, I'll let you call in just a few minutes. I guess I got a little bit carried away, and I'm sorry. But we need Jesus. We don't need stuff. The more stuff we get, the miserable we're becoming. You know, we need to fall in love with Jesus. And we need to be given, too. You need to exercise your giving. I hear many people say, well, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give. Well, are you giving now? Nope. But you won't be given when you win the lottery. I'm not saying play the lottery. If you come in an inheritance and you're not giving, what are you going to do with that inheritance? But you're going to blow it. Instead, if you haven't exercised your giving into the work of God, that's extremely important. Not the stuff on this earth. Again, I'm not against stuff, but I think we've fallen in love with it. We are so mixed up in this country, you know, what's right is wrong, wrong is right. We need to get back to him. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. Look, I was an orphan growing up, and I was an orphan. My mom died and passed away in front of me, and it was just my sister and I. And the Lord provided, and it was rough. We didn't have gas, heat at night. We didn't have water, but God provided. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you that God will provide. Abraham told Isaac. He said, Isaac said, we have the fire and the wood. Well, where's the sacrifice? His father said, God will provide. God will provide for you as well. Whatever you need, if you need a healing touch, if you need a miracle, whatever you need, it may not be the way you want it. And it may take some time. Remember, it's God's will, not your will. But you need to persevere. And if you're praying for someone that has cancer, if you're praying for someone that has sugar diabetes, you just keep praying and don't give up. Some of you have given up on your dreams and your destinies. It's time to say, God, I want my gifts in me to come out of dormancy. I want them to come alive again. Let Jesus wake you up. Let him wake you up. I'm going to open the phone calls in a minute. I'm looking for a song to play, and it's about his blood, that he went to Calvary, and he shed his precious blood, that you and I might have life, and life more abundantly. I tell you, the Christian life, it's glorious, but it didn't say it's not going to come without some trials, some pain, some hurdles, some storms. I tell you what, since I've been a Christian, I've had more storms in my life than you can shake a stick, but I tell you what, it's making me more like Jesus, and I'm trying to be teachable. I'm trying to be open, so that I can share with you and be transparent, and that God just help me each and every day. And that's what I want you to do, is lean on him more, not your job, not your money, not anything that you have. Lean on him. The words, the scriptures tell us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct your path. He'll direct your path. Spend more time with him. I'm going to put on a song. It's beautiful. And I hope you enjoy it. And then I'm going to open up the phone lines. It's by Charity Gale. You'll enjoy this song. Let's worship the Lord right now for a few minutes. Let him minister to you.
I was rich. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight.
divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope.
Hope you enjoyed that song, and I'm going to open the phone lines up. Mark, if you'd like to call in, it's 321-632-1000. Good morning. This is Tom.
Good morning.
Yes, yes, ma'am. How are you today, ma'am?
I am fine, Tom, and you?
Oh, Mary, I didn't recognize your voice. I'm sorry. Good morning. I hear you have something awesome to share with us.
Yes, Tom. I have a good friend, Maureen, and she's my good friend and neighbor. And we do a lot of gardening together. We both love gardening, and we're part of the beautification committee. And she came to me last January, and she said she was diagnosed with leukemia. Well, that just really hurt. But She's gotten through it, and with the power of God's prayer, Mark and I are praying every day, and we have her on four prayer groups, two in Ohio and two here in Florida, and she is in remission now, and she is doing great, and I really, really, really believe that God has helped her, and all the friends that prayed for her, and I know even Susan prayed as well, and I just can't thank you enough. And I'm so happy for her mission.
Yes, we are. We are too. And it's. I tell you, God says, "Is there anything too difficult for thee, Mary? Is there anything too difficult?" And there's not. There's not. And I thank you for being her best friend and standing with her and not giving up on her. And you have been very instrumental in her life. And so, you know, I want to say from the Heavenly Father to all of us and myself, thank you for caring her, believing in her, not giving up on her, because you've helped pull her through one of the most difficult times of her life. And you truly are, you know, God gives us friends for a season, and God gives us friends for a lifetime. And she has been a lifetime friend for you. I believe it's Maureen. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Maureen, yes. Yeah. So Maureen, you truly are a friend for life, and she's been a friend for life for you as well. And I marvel at how the Lord has touched her. How's she doing today?
She is doing fine today. She is in remission. Her numbers are down to zero, and I am just so ecstatic that she is. I mean, this coming birthday for her in January will be a better birthday for her than it was last year. And I'm just so happy. Her husband's Greg, her kids. She's a grandmother. She's got two or three beautiful, beautiful grandkids. I've met them and talked with them, and they are just a bunch of fun to be with.
That's delightful. What a wonderful story, Mary, to share. What a wonderful story. Look at what the Lord has done. You know,
yep.
And there's people that said, "Well, God doesn't do miracles anymore," but you know, he said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. I thank you for sharing that testimony. It's a delightful. It's encouraging.
You can't give up. The power of prayer is powerful. You can't give up. He loves us. He tells us in ways that we don't understand.
Yeah. Yep, you're right. You just said something so powerful. Don't give up. Don't give up. And that's powerful, Mary. That's very powerful. That oftentimes in this walk with Christ, sometimes we don't see anything happening, and you know, we just give up. We give up on people. We give up on ourselves. And you're right. Don't give up. Don't give up. That's what Jesus would tell us. Don't give up. I'm still there. I'm still there. And well, thank you for being a wonderful friend to Marina and also to your husband Mark as well. Thank you for being a blessing to Sue and I. And thank you for helping me stay on the radio, too. I can't thank you enough. Mm-hmm. I can't thank you enough. And I tell you, I just pray. Could I pray with you, Mary?
Yes.
Father God, I pray for Mary and Mark. I thank you for the delightful miracle that was in the making. In your name, Jesus, we come, too, like the one leper that you healed. I come with Mary and Father, and thank you for touching Marina, Father God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that by your very stripes, Father God, that you took upon your back, she was healed. And I thank you for that. Thank you for that miracle, Father God. And thank you for Mary and Mark. Thank you for their marriage, their life, their love for you, Father God. I pray that the best is yet to come for Mary and Mark. Thank you for touching Mark's heart. Thank you for strengthening his body from the top of his head, Father God, to the soles of his very feet. And Mary, too. Thank you for the lovely wife that she is to Mark. And Father God, I thank you for Mary. Thank you, Father, for her life, her zeal for life, and being close to her friend Marina, Father God, and not giving up. Thank you for her words that says we're just not to give up. And thank you, Mary. I pray that the Lord would bless you abundantly. Thank you, Father God, for blessing Mary and Mark with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As long as they live, Father God, let them never lack. Let them know that who's in charge is you. Thank you for meeting all of their needs. And I ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Anything else, Mary?
Well, Tom, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for knowing you, for being with you. Just what you do, how you're trying to get out to everybody, the love that we need to spread in this world, that I can't thank you enough. And I am just so happy to know you and be part of your life. And I'm just ecstatic to have, be friends with you and know you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for it so very much. And same back. It's an honor to know both you and Mark and Lisa and her husband as well. Thank you. And I pray that you have a very, very blessed Thanksgiving and a very, very Merry Christmas. And in Hawaii, it's called Mele Kalikimaka. Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes.
And looking forward to having Thanksgiving with you all.
Oh, I can't wait. It'll be a good day.
Yes, it will. Does Mark have anything to share?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I don't want to put him on the spot, but thank you, Mary, for calling in. And thank you for reminding us all. And I mean that sincerely, not to give up.
Yeah. Don't give up. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that word, Mary.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. You give it to us.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. Have a great day. Tell Mark I said hi and give my love to him.
I certainly will. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Mary.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Yeah, Mark and Mary, they're really special people. She's related to, my wife is related to Mark. Delightful. Always love to be around them. They're just full of life and zeal and fun. And we never argue. And it's nice to have friends that you're comfortable with and they're real. Thank you, Mary, for sharing that testimony of your wonderful friend that got touched. And miracles, folks, do happen. You know, they do happen. But remember, we have to stay in prayer because the word tells us the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. You know, if I had a friend that I was taking care of, she saw me on Christian TV and she called the station and she kept calling. And finally, after I don't know how many times she called the TV station wanting my number, Claude called me and said, you know, this girl won't let up. She's calling every day. And he gave me her number. And so the story was that I called her and my wife and I went down to visit her. And I helped her. She had MS for 4.5 years. It wasn't perfect. And we provided nurses for her, and she had some nurses, too, on the side that would come in and help her. But I'll never forget when I stayed with her to her death at hospice. I spent the night with her. She told me something so profound. She said, Tom, you knew I wanted a husband. I said, I know, Veronica. She said, you knew I wanted children, and I never got my children. And I said, I know, Veronica. She said, I wanted a house, Tom, and I never got my house. And I said, I know, Veronica. She said, I never get those things, Tom. She says, you knew I wanted a rose garden, and I never even got my rose garden. But she said, God gave me a rose, you. And boy, did I cry. You know, it's time that we, the church, be the light into the dark places, that we become that blessing that Jesus has told us to become. It's important. Are you that rose to your wife, your husband? Are you that rose to your neighbor? You know, don't be like Jonah and get an assignment and go somewhere else. Be that blessing. I think I can take one more call to any. If you want to call in and you got a praise report or if you need prayer, don't be bashful now. Come on now. Call in. That's why I'm here. I don't want to talk a whole hour. Call in. The number here is 321-632-1000. Call in if you have something to share. Don't complain about me now. You know, don't call and complain about the government. Just pray for them, okay? Call in. The number here is 321-632-1000. And I tell you what, I'm humbled to be on the radio. Again, you know, when I called myself stinky, it's only because of Jesus. He cleans us up each and every day. Remember, we're to carry our cross daily. Pick our cross up each and every day. And I pray that you that are hurting out there, that you need a touch from God, that he will touch your body. You know, we all need a touch, that he would touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And that, you know, that don't be impatient with Jesus. You may not get your healing, just like Veronica. You know, she had MS and she passed away with MS. But you know what? The Lord did heal her. She went into the presence of Jesus. And so will you. You know, so we live each day. And we draw near to him, as his word says, draw near to him, and he said, I'll draw near to you. And that's what it's all about. It's about knowing Jesus, falling deeper in love with him. And if you'd like to call in, please call in. The number here is 321-632-1000. Now, come on, don't be shy on me now. Just call in, share your heart, and we're getting closer to Thanksgiving, and, you know, I want you all to have a wonderful Thanksgiving and let Jesus, he's a great provider. Even when I didn't have parents, my dad left, it was my sister and I watched how Jesus provided each and every day for my sister and I. Good morning, this is Tom.
Yes, good morning. You were asking for praise reports this morning as I was listening to you.
Yes, sir. And your name?
Okay, this is Tom from Cocoa. I've lived here 30 years, but my first wife died here in 2000 with cancer. But I got to tell you what happened. I got saved in 1969. I'm 87 years old.
Mm.
And I was really over the top, and she couldn't put up with it any longer. So she called her magistrate boss and had a constable sent to pick me up. And she made up a story about whatever the story was. I don't even remember, but I got arrested, taken to the magistrate's court, and I took my Bible. And the man that picked me up knew me. He says, Tom, what's going on? I said, well, too much religion, and I just learned how to not to let the Holy Spirit do it, do his job. I thought I had to do it. Well, he didn't know what I was talking about because he wasn't a Christian. Go to the magistrate's office, and he said, you know, I could send you to the county jail. I said, yes, sir, I know that. And I said, but I'm taking my buck down. He said, oh, no, not one of those. I said, yes, sir. He looked all around. He said, do you have a place to stay? I said, if I can use your phone. I called the man that led me to Christ. I got saved in a powerhouse. Isn't that a coincidence? In a Bible study that I wasn't even involved in. So next thing you know, he said, you have a hearing here next week. So the pastor of the church where I got saved, the Christian Missionary Alliance, he said, I'll be there. I said, okay. So I go to the office that night from my friend's house, and there's her father, who's a cop in town. There she is, and she's all angry at me, and he told her, Lois Ann, be quiet. So the meeting started. There's no pastor. So the guy, the magistrate, heard her story, then heard mine. He looked all around and said, I can't make a decision either way here. I don't have enough information. So just then there was a knock at the door. My pastor, who was from another city, didn't know where this was, so he had a hard time finding it. So he said, and the pastor said, I'm sorry I'm late. He said, oh, Reverend, that's okay. He said, I can't decide anything, magistrate told me. He said, well, I think I have the answers. He said, what? What do you mean? He said, do you remember when you fell in love in school? He said, yeah, I married that girl. We got two children. And he was bragging about what universities they were in. He said, well, that's what happened to Tom. What do you mean? He said, he fell in love with Jesus. You could have heard a pin drop. The magistrate looked at her, looked at me, looked at the pastor, looked at her dad. He said, case dismissed. Boom. Jesus was faithful. Now, I want your listeners to know that. Never give up. There's all kind of trials and tribulations in our lives, and they're there for a reason. And to this very day, she got saved here in Florida 12 days before she passed away with lung cancer. So don't give up. There's hope always with Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting me share that with you.
No, thank you, Toll. And again, we're sorry to hear about the loss of your precious wife.
Well, let me tell you what happened. I went back to my 45th class reunion, and I met a girl that I talked to in eighth grade who said I was too young for her, and the real reason was I looked like Elvis Presley. Her mother said, don't date anybody who looks like Elvis Presley. So she wouldn't date me. She ran down the hallway saying, you're too young for me. So 45 years after we graduated, I met her at the class reunion in the town I'm from up north. My friends took me up there, and I walked up to her, and I said, do you remember what you told him? She says, no. And I told her, she said, oh, that was just to get rid of you. I said, well, it worked. And I said, you said I was too young for you. And she said, yes. I took my hat off. I'm balding. I'm hunched over. I have a hearing aid. I can't see. I said, am I old enough now? And she agreed. 7 months later, we get married. That's 23 years ago. So praise God. He's faithful. And just keep the faith, brother. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
God
you, Tom.
Bless you with your work at the program. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for telling us not to give up.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God bless you, bye-bye. And a blessed Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for that. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Tull.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, sir. Well, I got just a few minutes left, and sure, I hope you enjoyed the program today. It was unusual, and that's the way I'd like it to be. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's not about Tom coming here. It's about Jesus, and I want Jesus to be lifted up, Jesus, you to come closer to Jesus, like Mary said, to get intimate with him and to know him and to love him and to serve him and to actually hear his heart, to hear his heart. I was dying one time, and I was actually, the doctors gave me 2 days to live, and one of the things I remember my second night that I was dying, and I smelled death, I tasted death, I felt these arms wrapped around me, and the Holy Spirit was embracing me, and he was telling me, you need to hear the Lord's heart. And you know, I was dying. I felt it, tasted it, and I heard the heart of the Father. And you know what his heart beats? People, 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 people. It's not mansions, money, 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 things, and stuff. You know what? It's Jesus, folks. It's Jesus. Fall deeper in love with him. And as Mary said, and as Tull said, you know, don't give up. Don't give up. You know, don't give up. The late Winston Churchill said, success is when you fail and you fail and you fail and you fail, but you don't give up. That's success. That's what Jesus would tell you. Don't give up. Run the race with confidence, the race that's set before you. Danny's my time up just about, or just one more minute? Okay, so my time's just about up. Well, have a great week. And until next week, God bless you. Remember, stay awake, and I pray the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob upon you always. God bless you.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.